We're continuing chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we are about to finish up chapter 13. If you'll listen fast, we might make it this morning. I only have a few verses here to go. It is a powerful chapter in the book, and of course the whole book is tremendous. We recognize that last book in the Bible wraps things up. It helps you to understand the rest of the Bible. You know how it's going to turn out. You know what goal the rest of the Bible is shooting for and how it's going to wind up. And of course, the book of Revelation takes us past the time that we're living in. We're living at the end of chapter 3, I believe, in Revelation, right in the last verses. The church age that's described as going liberal in the end time, called the Laodicean church. It's the one that deals with civil rights and social rights and loses the truth of the gospel and thinks they're rich and increased with goods, but God looks at them and says they're poor, wretched, blind, and naked. That's the way he looks. Man looks at it one way, God looks at it another way. And we're living right there. We're waiting for chapter 4 to open up, which could be any minute, the sound of the trumpet calling out the saved. John was called up to heaven at chapter 4, verse 1. We believe he's a wonderful picture of the church being called out. He hears a voice, he hears a trumpet, just like the saved are going to hear when they're called out. And when he gets up there, he looks around the throne of God and sees a bunch of things. He sees the one sitting on the throne holding a seven-sealed book in his hand. And heaven is weeping for a while there. John is weeping because no man seems to be worthy to take the book. And then, of course, one of the elders speaks to him and tells him, "Weep no more. That the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he prevailed as a lamb that was slain." That's Jesus on the cross. And he has the right then of redemption. So he takes, as it were, the title deed to the earth, the seven seal book from him on the throne, and begins to open the seals. At the end of chapter 6, you've got five seals opened, and then you have a parenthetical setting until the seventh seal is open. Now, when we get to chapter 14, we've been through the tribulation two times, once under the seals and the next time under the trumpets. We're going to go to it through it again under the what we would call the figure of the Antichrist. So in chapter 13, we're introduced to the Antichrist. We're introduced to him being called a beast. He's a man. He's the devil incarnate man, like Judas turned out to be. Still, he's a man. But there's another beast that also shows up in chapter 13, and they're partners. They're partners in crime, so to speak. One of them is we know as the Antichrist. The other one we know is the false prophet. That means coming from the political scene, you're going to have the Antichrist. He'll be elected, I believe. I think he'll be a dictator, but he'll get elected to start with. He'll deceive and he'll fool, and we've seen enough politics in our day to know that's pretty easy to do anymore. And so he'll be the political leader that'll come on the scene, but the religious leader that will be recognized by the world as the religious leader, he will be the false prophet that shows up and points to the Antichrist and says, "He's the man, worship him." And of course, accompanying those two beasts will be all kinds of signs and miracles and lying wonders that people can be deceived by. And so in chapter 13, it's such an important chapter. As we go through chapter 13, we realize that as the beast takes power, it's going to be the midway point, or just past a little bit, of what we call the tribulation period. Tribulation period is a period of 7 years. We take the premillennial viewpoint, which is the scriptural viewpoint all the scriptures will go together on. And the Antichrist will come in and with a miracle of either resurrection from the dead or being healed from a deadly wound, he'll attract the attention of the whole world, and the whole world will worship him. Now, all that we've just saying to try to catch us up a little bit as to where we're at in chapter 13. Pick it up with me in verse 11 of chapter 13 of Revelation. It's amazing. Somebody says 13's an unlucky number. Well, I'm not a superstitious fellow, but I am a Bible-believing fellow. And I will tell you this, a lot of bad things are associated with 13 in the Bible. And so maybe you can understand a little bit why some folks are superstitious about it. Here you got 13 chapter. You say, oh, the chapter was added later. Yeah, and I'm sure God didn't know a thing about it when it was added. No, he's still alive. He's still in charge. So you'll find out that even in the numbers of the verses, and I'm against the new versions because they pervert the word of God, number one. But number two, they make it hard to understand. You pick up new versions and they don't number the verses and the chapters correctly, especially the verses. And the verses are important. It helps you memorize the Bible, helps you remember what is found where. And so I'm all for that, and I do believe God was in it, though they were added later. Well, later than what? Later than the events in Genesis? Yes. Later than Job's day? Yes. But it is amazing how far you can go back and find out that the numbering did take place even earlier than the what is accepted today, I've found out by study. But it is interesting how they turn out. Maybe it's a coincidence, maybe not. For instance, when you read in John chapter 6, I think I showed you that the other day, that's one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. And when you get to John chapter 6 and verse 66, that gives you three sixes in a row. What do you have? You have apostasy taking place. Now, what do we have in Revelation 13? We're going to come up with the three sixes that the world talks so much about and so many ideas floating around about. And we'll look at it here a little bit as we get to it. Now, we find that the verse 11, another beast. Verse 12, he has the power, exercise all the power of the first beast before him. Causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship who? The first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now this false prophet, Bible tells us that he has two horns like a lamb. Don't say he is a lamb, but he spake as a dragon in verse 11. So he's going to have the appearance of a lamb. He'll be a false lamb. You hear about wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, in a sense, that's what you have here. One faking it, because it's the devil that's behind him, the dragon. We found that out in chapter 12, that the dragon is called the old devil. And we recognize that he's using these two beasts here, these two men, that he's going to empower in the tribulation period. Now, the tribulation period, I started to say, is 7 years long. It's called the day of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. And it's a time God deals with the Jews in particular. We believe it's 7 years because of Daniel's prophecy of the 490 years, 7 times 70, 490 years, that was predicted by the prophet Daniel. 483 of those years have been fulfilled. 1/7 is left. A week of years is 7 years. There's been a gap between the 483 years or the 69 sevens. That gap we call the church age, the grace age. So when God put the Jews aside, they rejected the kingdom, he brought in the church age. The church age is about to end. He's fixing to pick up the clock again with Israel. They've got a final 7 years to finish. And God says it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it'd be great tribulation like the world had never seen before. That's saying something, because the world has seen a lot of bad stuff. But Jesus is saying it'll be worse on the Jews for a while there under the Antichrist than it even was under Hitler when he burned 6 million of them in the ovens. That's a pretty bad time. It'd be worse than it was when the Roman Emperor Titus destroyed Jerusalem. And it'll be a situation that is going to be even worse than that. Now, to try to catch up a little bit, get to what everybody wants to ask questions about, it's going to be the number thing here. Now, the first beast has a deadly wound. He's healed. The religious leader, the false prophet, points to him as he's the one to worship. Verse 13, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, that's still a pretty good miracle when you see it. Fire came down when Elijah had his preacher's meeting out there on Mount Carmel and slew 450 of the prophets of Baal, remember? And fire came down from heaven and licked up the sacrifice. Now, we live in a day and time when fire coming down out of the sky is not as much of a phenomenon as it used to be. But I'll tell you this, when it's coming like it did in the days of Elijah, it's gonna be impressive. We see stuff on TV with laser beams and bombs going off in the war and all that. But this is going to be supernatural. Now, the thing the world's going to get deceived by is they're going to think it's from God. When it's not from God, it's going to be from Satan. It's going to be his power that's demonstrated with his men here in this tribulation period. But it's going to fool the world. I want to say to you that I see something building big time. I see it in the news a little bit. I see it that the world's been prepared by Hollywood, the movies they've put on from Star Wars on. I see it in the cartoons that kids watch. I see where, you know, when I was a kid, we played cowboy and Indian. You know what I mean? We made wooden guns and we rode stick horses and that was our heroes. Yeah, the kids don't even know about that anymore. All they know about is laser shooting, monsters coming out of space, spaceships, Star War type stuff. That's what they know about. So what you have is you have the devil behind some of the influence going on to prepare for what he's going to bring. I believe with all my heart he's going to bring some of that stuff on the earth, and it's going to be accepted by a generation where an older generation like you and I, if we were still here, and I think we're going to be gone, would not accept it. We'd recognize it for what it is, of the devil instead of the Lord. But there is a mindset going. I told you the other day, the UN now has a committee to welcome the aliens when they show up. The UN, the United Nuts that we give all our tax money to mess up the world. That's what I'm talking about. They've already got a designated committee to meet the aliens. The Pope has come out, among his other junk he's come out with, he's come out not so long ago saying that there could be life out there in space, and if so, that would be all right. In fact, I'll be a little mischievous here, but I think he'd declare he was their boss too when they showed up. But anyway, that's the kind of junk the world's getting prepared for right now and brainwashed for. And you've seen the old movies where the aliens showed up, you know, and said, "Take me to your leader." Well, don't be surprised if it comes from the White House or from the UN or from the Vatican or wherever it comes from. The message is going to be, accept them. They intend good for us. They are going to teach us. Or the news is going to come out that they've already behind a lot of the miraculous stuff we have today, electronically and otherwise, that we got it from them. And so all of that is something I don't open up too much, except to say it's not ahead of the Bible. The Bible's already telling you, you're going to have some come down, they're going to have miraculous power, they're going to call fire down from heaven, and the whole world is going to worship them. I'm going to say to you that there's a bunch coming as we study in the book of Revelation, and you better be careful to know they're not of God. Again, I believe God's children are not going to have any problem. I believe the Holy Spirit lives within the body, soul of a believer, and I believe he discerns for us. I don't think we're going to have any problem, but there's a good chance we're going to be gone before they land, and the Bible tells us that there's going to be a strong delusion coming for those that believe not the gospel, those that are left behind. And I'm deviating a little bit from the text here, but I see this business with the wonders coming down from heaven, verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Now, if we believe the rapture is imminent and it takes place, we will not be dwelling on the earth. The saved will not. They'll be with the Lord. But he's going to deceive them on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. I talked to you about that. Technology right now is allowing that to happen. It was even on the regular news the other day about the hologram, I guess they call it, And it showed a picture of a woman standing there, and yet it was not a woman. It was an image cast out there into the air. And if you'd have walked up to her, you could have poked a hole through her. She didn't exist. Now, they've had that technology for a while, and they've even used it some with world leaders to where the guy was standing up there, and if you shot him, it wouldn't have hurt him because you were just shooting the fog. He was in the back room talking, and his image was portrayed out on the platform. That's already technology. So is that part of what this is, making an image? I don't know. It may be a little more than that. It may be much more supernatural than that. But it's an image to the beast, the first beast, the Antichrist, that had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, I carried you over to the book of Zechariah, so I won't do it again. I carried you over to the book of Zechariah and showed you how the wound is going to appear. He's called the idol shepherd in the book of Zechariah, and his right eye is put out in this assassination attempt. It's done by sword, so it's not something he goes to bed with and gets sick. It says in Zechariah, it's done with a sword. And it says here, it's with a sword. So right eye goes out, and one of his arms, Zechariah does not say which, but says it will be on his arm and his right eye. I gave you the little thing before that an old-fashioned warrior carried his shield in his left hand to defend. Most men are right-handed, not all, but a right-handed man, if he had the shield in his left hand, he had his sword in his right hand, his right eye looked around the shield. That was the eye that he saw with. The other eye was protected, blinded pretty much by the shield. Now, if you wound his right arm, he's out of the battle. You take his right eye out, he'd have to hold the shield with his right hand. So he couldn't fight as good if he was right-handed. So the whole thing is a picture of a wound, and it's described, and he's called the idol shepherd, which means somebody is idolizing him. Somebody is worshiping him. And he is the one that is pictured again as this Antichrist that gets wounded here in chapter 13 but lives. Now he deceives them on the earth. An image is made to him. Verse 15, he had power to give life under the image of the beast. Now who did? The false prophet had power to give life under the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now we've covered this before, but in Revelation 6, when the fifth seal is opened, you find the souls under the altar crying out to God to avenge the way they were killed. We went over to Revelation chapter 20 to find out how they were killed. They were killed by having their heads removed. That was the death in the tribulation period. It is an interesting thing today that government legislators in some of our American states have already made some decisions concerning bringing in the guillotine as a means of capital punishment. And we showed you a little document we had there some time back. The argument was that some of the criminals that have gotten a death sentence would like to donate their organs. And you can't put somebody in the electric chair without frying. I don't want to be gross, but you fry their liver, you fry the organs, they're no more good. The heart, whatever. If you gas them, they're no more good. But if you chop their heads off, you can take the organs out pretty quick and reuse them. Now that's the justification for moving from the electric chair and the gas chamber to having heads chopped off. Now it's scary to me to think that we're buying that package already. The deception's already started. And in the tribulation period, heads are going to be chopped off. The argument, they may be chopped off with a Muslim sword, and that's quite a possibility too. But the guillotine is normally expected to be used for that when it's a government-sanctioned thing. However, in Saudi Arabia and many of the Eastern countries right now, the sword is the means of capital punishment, and they're using it. You ought to look up the stats. How many folks got their heads chopped off last year in Saudi Arabia? I mean, brother, that's it. And a lot of them women. You want to see a monstrosity, it's the way that false religion treats women. It's an amazing thing that America is even considering going easy on it. And we are. Did you see out in Oklahoma where the people voted? I mean, what, 70-80% voted to not allow Sharia law? Did you see that? For no judge could use Sharia law to pass a judgment from the bench. But guess what happened? One of our judges, federal judges, banned it. No matter what the people voted. The state voted. The people voted. You can't use international law. You can't use Sharia law. You got to go by the Constitution of... That seems so basic, so ABC right. And now you get a federal judge says, we're not going to let it happen, though you voted. It's crazy. That's America. That's where we're slipping. That's where we're going right now. And it'll go to the Supreme Court, I hope. And I hope they'll overturn it and let the people have their way. What is wrong with saying we want to be governed by our own laws, by our own constitution? It's crazy, isn't it? Anyway, that's coming. And it's shadow of the tribulation period right on us. That's what it is. Looking on down a little bit here, they're going to be killed. We find out in Revelation the killing is the head chopping off during the tribulation period. No doubt about that. Then he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. That says in. Isn't that amazing? Don't say on. It says in their right hand and in their foreheads. Now, we talked with you last week about the chip technology. And how chips are being put in pets now. So if Rover gets lost, he can find his way home when somebody finds out the address on the chip. Medical chips are now being installed in people, and there's at least 2,000 people already using them. And the chip not only covers your medical records, it's going to be able to cover you everything, including the number you need to go into the bank. And with all the stealing right now that's going on of numbers and all the crime that's going on, credit card stealing and everything, it's amazing. I told you the other week I had phone calls for 2 weeks, somebody trying to con me to get my bank account. They wasted more in phone bills than I got in the bank, amen? Not really, but pretty bad at it. It's amazing. And the cons that's going on, I can see it slick. I can see how folks would be fooled. But it's going to be pretty hard if you have a chip in your hand or in your forehead, and it may not be a chip. It will be a number, it tells us here. And if it is the chip, it could be, it's going to be pretty hard for somebody to steal it. Going to be pretty hard to steal it. Now, can you imagine the guy walking in the bank? He's chopped off somebody's hand. He lays it up there and says, I want the money. Now, I'm being facetious a little bit. But what's going to happen is man's sin and man's greed and man's covetousness brings man to bring in desperate means to try to control crime. And this chip is going to seem like a good idea. Now, I showed you last week, I think, if you went over to chapter 16 and verse 2, you would find out over there that something happens with those that take the chip. And they get an infection. They get a sore, the Bible calls it. And with that in mind, I don't know. Maybe that's God's curse on it. But it says in verse 2 of chapter 16, God's wrath's being poured out. And the angels are pouring it out. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast. And upon them which worshiped his image. So there's a certain group in the tribulation period that's going to take the mark. And if you don't take it, you get your head chopped off. And there'll be some of those, especially Jews, that will not take it. It's interesting now, the scanning that goes on at the airport, people having to make hard choices. You see, the act that happened on 9/11 keeps reaping dividends for the terrorists, don't it? Keeps America jumping through hoops and having to sacrifice and all that. Well, get off on that. But the mark in the tribulation period is going to be cursed of God on those that take it. Now, moving back to chapter 13 here for the next few minutes. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. That means everybody, in their right hand, in their forehead, so it sounds like an implant. That no man can buy, sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, and the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Don't say it's the number of man, but a man. And his number is 600, 366, or 666. Now, a lot of writing, a lot of preaching, a lot of talk, a lot of theory on the number. And it is intriguing. It is not as uncommon as you might think. And the Lord didn't say nobody can understand it. He said, here is wisdom. Now, we can understand quite a bit about it. You and I both know we're living in the number age today. If you ventured out on Black Friday, I saw enough on TV, on the news, stumping each other coming in the door. Not for me, brother. But anyway, if you did, you know that when you went to the counter to pay for your goods, they had to scan the numbers, didn't they? The scanner's been around a long, long time. And you can take the barcode and look at it, and you can see if you want to see in it. You'd see 666 in it. I don't know that that's it. I think it's more than that, and I think it's going to be more advanced than that even. But you can see we're in the number thing. You go to the bank, it don't matter what your name is, your number's got to be right. And that plays all the way through everything, from a Social Security number on. We are in the number age. There's no doubt about us being in the number age. And we've gotten used to it, haven't we? Everywhere you look, we've gotten used to it. Now, this particular number is the number of a man. Now, if you took the word right here and counted up, and you look at it in several different languages, there's a lot of possibilities and there's a lot of intrigue about it. For instance, I'll just give you this. If you looked it up, 600, 366, or 666, and you did it in Arabic, you would have a G, a K, a X, a E, and a S. And the X in Arabic is the cross swords that you see on the flag of where? Saudi Arabia. That's one of them. And it would mean, if you took it in Arabic, it would mean in the name of Allah. Kind of interesting. These suicide bombers, you know, they go around and in Arabic holler, God is great. They just caught one this week. Fixing to blow up the Christmas tree thing up there in Portland, Oregon. Did you see that? And when he called the number on his cell phone, expecting the bomb to go off, the FBI had already given him a false plant, so it didn't go off. But when he called the number, he hollered out, God is great. And as they arrested him and went into the wagon with him, he was hollering, God is great, in Arabic. You've heard it. You've heard it many times. That's what the pilots were hollering when they flew the planes in on 9/11. And all this stuff. That's what was being said by the army man out in Fort Hood when he was shooting the people. God is great in Arabic. Now, I'm not saying, please don't, I don't know. I don't positively know. I'm just saying, look at some possibilities. In 5 minutes I got left, let me give you a few others. Don't try to write them down. I'll run through it a little bit fast. But through history, there's been some men that showed up with 666, counting the number of their name. Polycarp was the understudy of John the Revelator that wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos that we're studying. Polycarp would have been a young man. He died at 86, martyred because he wouldn't deny Christ by the Roman government. Polycarp, some of his little bit of writings that was left, he said the number 666 had to do with the Latin kingdom. Now, you got to remember, the Vatican didn't exist in Polycarp's day. The Roman Catholic Church did not exist in his day. But Rome did exist, and it was Rome that put him to death. And Rome was who he probably had in mind when he said it had to do with the Latin kingdom. Now, if you take, how many of you know your Roman numerals? They are called Roman numerals, right? Did you ever take those things and just add them up, the value of each one of them? For instance, if you took the one in Latin, it would equal one. If you took the took the V, it would equal five. If you took the L, it would equal 50. If you took the C, it'd be 100. If you took the D, it'd be 500. Add them all up, and it's 666. Coincidence, I guess. No, it's not. It's tied into it. Try that on your own. You know your Roman numerals. Just take the values. You got to remember on the Roman numerals, you know, that the E and the A and the R and the S and the F have no value. But you value up, just count the Latin, count the Roman numerals, and you have it turn out to be that. Now, we could play around with a lot of names. There's two times in the Bible that 666 shows up as a number. It shows up, just write the reference, I don't have time to go to it. It shows up in the little book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 13. A man's name counts up to 666. It's hard to pronounce his name. It's Donakan, and it means the Lord of Rebellion. What is the Antichrist? He's the Lord of Rebellion. Now, this man's name shows up, and then in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 13, the total of Solomon's gold added up, also in that particular spot, they counted up 666. Interesting, rebellion and gold ties in with 666 even in the Bible. Now, if I really wanted to meddle, I'd tell you that there has been a religious leader on earth that he and his successors, worn a crown that if you added the Latin up on the writing on the crown, it totals 666. Now, they have taken that number away in these last number of years because there's a lot of folks beginning to make a fuss about it. But for a long, long time, the Pope wore a crown. And I know I'm on the radio, just prove me wrong. I challenge you out there, prove me wrong. It's fact of history, pictures and all. Wore a crown that if you total up the number on it, that's what it totaled. It simply said on that crown, Vicarius Philippi Dii, and if you take those Latin letters, add it up to 666. The word vicarious we recognize, don't we? That was saying that the wearer of the crown was taking Jesus' place, vicarious. Jesus was vicarious in taking our place on the cross, and he was the only one. Nobody has the right to wear that title except Jesus. He was the vicarious. He was the substitute, and that's what it means, substitute. To wear that and say I'm the substitute for the Son of God is blasphemy, that's right, according to the Word of God. And I'll probably get some hate mail over that, but folks keep their head in the sand and don't figure out, look and see what's being said. And sad truth is, this number, you can count up a lot of ways. We don't know. Nero's name added up to it in history. Some others' names added up to it in history and all of that. But somebody will one day be cursed on earth, and their number will add up to 666, and it will be incorporated in the mark that you'll have to have if you're here to buy or sell. You don't want to be here. You want to be saved. You want to go when Jesus calls for you. Amen. All right, my time's up this morning. Hope you'll stay with us for the preaching service, and we appreciate you being here. Sunday school was 1,113, went down some. Thanksgiving must have got us.